Robert Jory has a history of working as a scriptwriter for several commercial Hollywood projects in film and television over the years. But Working Man, the film he'll be presenting at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival in the first weekend, is the first film he's written and directed. The genesis of the film goes back to the financial crisis of 2008. The closure of factories, industrial towns, job losses, the mood of despair, collective loss of hope, the failure of government to raise the hopes of a disillusioned working class. The film also dramatises the efforts of workers in one factory to keep it open. So we do have the theme of industrial resistance, the sense of a class that feels left behind, ready to organise and to stay afloat. Also, of course, the director wanted to record the toll the situation took on families and private life. A story indeed for and of our times.
Yes, this in fact is my first film. I'm a first-time director, first produced screenplay. I've done some work for the studios in the past, but never had anything produced until now. So I'm feeling pretty fortunate about Working Man and the early response to the movie. This was a story that was developed. Maybe my first draft was 2009, 2010. So although it was conceived, you know, over a decade ago, I can't imagine that we've landed in a more appropriate, relevant, or fitting age than the present.
Bob Jory could hardly imagine back in 2008 and 9 that the situation he was describing then and the story he was beginning to write would remain so timely in 2018, particularly with over 700,000 federal workers laid off for no good reason, a permanent reduction of labour in the manufacturing industries, the weakening power of unions, and so on. He also mentioned the teacher strike in Los Angeles, now happily over.
It is. And, you know, I think it's particularly poignant now when you have so many workers affected by the government shutdown. And I know there in California, you're dealing with teachers on strike. And as you said, it's just an unfortunate, timely piece, but it's also one that I think many people can relate to. And beyond that, the film also it has a second part of the story that deals with the people's loss, whether it's a job, but also mental illness within a family and how people cope. So it's tackling a lot of issues, but I feel like it's very relevant with what's happening today.
Jory's at pains to emphasise that his is not a political film, even if viewers may take it in that direction. It essentially deals with the human tragedy of people whose lives, rooted in their jobs, feel suddenly abandoned as their work disappears from under them. Equally, there's the effect on families whose security is directly threatened by job loss. In the real world, the consequences can be mental marital strain, excessive drinking, drug abuse, and so on.
Correct. It's something that, again, is more focused on individuals' reaction to, you know, tragedy, and when it strikes their lives, an unexpected tragedy, and of course, job loss is an enormous emotional strain that. A person or a family can go through, and I don't think the characters of this story are any different, regardless of political stripe.
But what of resistance among the laid-off workers? And is this left to individuals seizing an initiative, or is there a role for unions? It's clear where Jory's sympathy lie, but unions play no role in his scenario. He was not aiming at total tragedy, nor facile redemption. Rather at the confusion among the working class in the Midwest. Bob is from Iowa, who in short order voted first for Barack Obama and then for Donald Trump. Their major emotion is bewilderment. Where have the jobs they once depended on gone? Why? What mechanism caused this?
Not particularly. Mm-hmm. No, not particularly. Again, this is really a story that's focused mainly on the effects to individuals and the workers themselves. It doesn't take a particular political stance or even a union stance, though, you know, personally I have my own political feelings that probably lean closer to your fellow Californians.
Yes.
Because there's the misnomer here that so much of the where I live is red, which is true, a red state, but it's a fairly purple environment as well. This state that I live in swept Obama into office and, you know, then inexplicably voted for Trump. So it couldn't be more timely as far as what people who are put in these particular situations, particular factory workers and people in industrial jobs who've seen these jobs shift overseas and are desperately looking for answers, you know, wondering what happened to a world they once knew.
I put it to Jory that tragic as the employment situation may be in the Rust Belt, it nevertheless offers a rich vein of narrative material just waiting for the alert writer or commentator. At the same time, we both agreed that Hollywood in general steers clear of such themes, since Hollywood sees films as commerce rather than art or social comment, and avoids subject matter that smacks of controversy. Bob nonetheless appreciates films of overt social comment himself, even satire. He quotes Spike Lee's Black Klansman, for example, and referred to working-class connections artistically and biographically in his principal actors, Talia Shire, once the little sister of the Corleone clan in The Godfather, and Peter Garrity, who spent a career playing working-class characters on film and TV, in this case, making working man outside the Hollywood system, had its advantages.
I mean, that's where and why independent film is so valuable, because you can delve into these topics and subjects that Hollywood otherwise, you know, has no interest in dipping their toes into. So it's, and I have to say, what's interesting is that we also have a veteran of kind of something, social movies, if you could call it that. Talia Shire is one of our three leads. She's, of course, two-time Academy Award nominee for the Rocky films and the Godfather films, which, you know, I kind of categorize as working class movies.
Yes.
Even though they were studio films. Peter Garrity, who plays the lead in our film, he's our working man. He's made a career out of playing working class characters. He's had he's been in everything from Broadway to film to television. Well, you'd see him in Amazon's Sneaky Pete and HBO's The Wire.
This led to an interesting discussion. How was it that a first-time director managed to attract actors of this caliber like Talia Shire and Peter Garrity, as well as Billy Brown, in the third major role, to a project not obviously commercial, to be shot far away in Chicago, long far away from the relative comforts of Hollywood? Bob Jory attributes much of his good luck in casting to his producing partner, Clark Peterson, whom he met through the arduous script refining process via the Screen Independent Labs in Hollywood. Peterson had the connections, the actors appreciated and loved the script and the subject matter, and Garrity in particular was delighted after a career as a character actor in minor parts to be offered a lead role made to measure for him.
And, you know, with independent film, we shot this in Chicago this past spring. You don't have the creature comforts that you do on studio movies. And these three actors were game for anything. They couldn't have been better partners. And you just have to, certainly as a first-time director, have to be ecstatic as I am when you have three people of this caliber who take on this project kind of sight unseen.
Jory, his actors and crew now head to Santa Barbara for the film's premiere. He's excited by the idea of showing his film to an audience for the first time, and naturally a little apprehensive as to public reaction. Like all directors in the fest, he hopes to get Working Man into other festivals across the country and then into wider commercial distribution. The premiere of Working Man is Saturday, February the 2nd, Metro 4 at 2:30 p.m. Do check the spiff.org website to confirm all times and venues. And this is Harry Lawton reporting.